The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, there's something that really kind of tickles me about this gospel passage. You know, Jesus is he's preaching to the people, you know, and he thinks he's come across this great image that he's going to use to instruct them. And then we see, although Jesus used this figure of speech, they did not realize what he was trying to tell them. You know, and then it's like, and then what does he do? He kind of changes up a little bit and doubles down and keeps going. Okay, so if you think my preaching style is somewhat unorthodox, I'm getting it right from Jesus. Okay, he says a lot of stuff people don't understand. He doubles down on it and keeps going. Okay, so this is. I'm glad for this passage today. I'm glad to read from the Gospel of John today. Yeah, it's they didn't realize. So he goes, "Amen, amen, I say to you." So how much clearer does he make it for you, right? He said he's the shepherd of the sheep, right? And they don't get it. And then what does he say? He said, "Okay, I got it. I am the gate for the sheep." What are you talking about? What is this? What are you talking about? The gate for the sheep, right? This doesn't make any sense. "All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep." Okay, fine. I'll try to make sense of it, shall I? I said I'll try. I didn't say I would do it, but okay. The image is very significant, right? The shepherd and sheep is the king of Israel and the people. Okay, so we see that in other passages in the scripture, right? Jesus encounters the crowd, and he has compassion for them. He says because they're like sheep without a shepherd. And the idea there also is that Jesus is on the scene as the king, not only say the king by rights, as it were, like that he had amassed the force necessary to be king, so he could rule in power and might, but that he was king by divine right. He's king because he's God's anointed, and we follow the New Testament from beginning to end. We see that right in the baptism of Jesus. He's anointed by the Holy Spirit. He's anointed to be king of the Jews. And then we see that throughout his life, what it looks like for him to be king of the Jews and lead Israel, God's chosen people, into renewal of their vocation to be light to the world, to bring God's blessing to bear to every corner of creation. And they're going to get there by following him. This is what it means, okay, shepherd and sheep. I think it is something to note, you know, like when we think of perhaps kingship, we're gonna think of our own models, and probably even like business models. Okay, king is like he's somewhere far removed from the people. He's ruling. He gets what he wants, right? It's all kind of naked authority in a way. But the image, of course, here for the king of the Jews and for Israel, for God's chosen people, is one of intimate relationship. Yeah, I mean, the hearing of the voice of the shepherd. and the following of him. Yeah, this is, I think, significant for us in terms of the formation of our image of Jesus as king, right? Because Jesus is king. We would proclaim that, right? We say Christ. Christ means God's anointed. Jesus is king. And we recognize him to be the rightful ruler of our hearts and lives. And we're given over to him. We give ourselves over to him. We entrust ourselves to him as our ruler and God and Lord. And he's the one who gives our lives direction and meaning and purpose. He's the one who gives us sustenance. He gives us proper pasture and all the rest, right? God, you know, Jesus is doing it all for us. And we are caught up into this intimate relationship with him. Okay, we see that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Right, he doesn't have to drive them on from behind. He doesn't need the sheepdog. We don't hear the crook or the staff. We're just hearing about the voice of the shepherd. Okay, this is, I think, it enjoins on us some responsibility to cultivate our capacity to hear the voice of the shepherd. And I think this means, of course, we have to spend time in prayer, time in silent prayer. I know that's as I hear the delightful voices of babies, you know, it's like, did I just say silent prayer? Yeah, I did. You know, however difficult it is to find it, we're going to hear the voice of the shepherd, I think, in the inner recesses of our hearts, and only when we give ourselves over to the practice of silent prayer. And of course, we can find the voice of the shepherd everywhere else once we do that, but we have to lock in somewhere. And I think we have to do that because we live in a cacophony of voices, right? And I realize that very often I'm just contributing my own voice to the same, right? It's just, who's going to shout louder? And if you come to 11 o'clock Mass on Sunday, you'll see who shouts louder. It's me, you know? So there's a rise above the cacophony, but it's really not about who's shouting louder, because I think, again, the voice of the Spirit, Jesus' own Spirit, the voice of Jesus, is very often soft. It's gentle. And there are times where it's not, and you recognize immediately you have to change what you're doing, right? This has become a matter of real urgency. Jesus is speaking up here, okay? But no, it's more a matter of gentleness and say that the leading voice of the Spirit. You know, why is that? Why is that? It's because God wants fully flourishing human beings. So he's not come to make us, say, servile. He's come to set us free. And we have to grow into that freedom, you know, intentionally with all our capacities. So the voice of the Spirit is going to be soft, and we're going to have to discern where it is God's leading. But all the while, I think we need to have this sense that it is our good shepherd who is leading and guiding, right? This is not, you know, God, again, the angry school teacher or the cop on the street looking to punish, looking to, you know, kind of catch up with us and charge us for our offenses, right? I mean, this is the God who so desperately wants us to know how deeply we are loved, and he wants that voice of love to be the lighthouse of our life, right? To be the North Star of our life, to be what gives us real direction and orientation. He is, right? Jesus is, he is the shepherd. He is the gate. He's the shepherd who lies across the opening to the pen at night, no matter what danger he incurs as a result of that, for the sheep, right? He gives the sheep safe pasture and safe dwelling. He keeps enemies at bay, right? At the risk and at the cost of his own life. This is Jesus, the good shepherd. And all who came before him are thieves and robbers, right? We have plenty, in that cacophony of voices, we have plenty of thieves and robbers around. People who want to use us for their own purposes. Yeah, and this is not the way of God at all, right? Jesus it is who is the gate. Jesus it is who allows the sheep to come in and go out and find pasture. He came so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And if we can focus again our hearts and our lives on him, and build on his own life of self-giving love, then we will find the abundance of life, the full flourishing of human life that he so desperately wants to give us.